Hi, I'm Dr. Kyla, pediatric dietitian, fussy eating specialist, and mum of two. I'm the founder of the online Mealtimes memberships that help parents just like you experience a confident and guilt-free way of feeding children. I'm also a business owner, a hot cross bun lover, and my superpower is finding things that you cannot live without. In this podcast, I'm talking about feeding your family, along with a random selection of topics that tickle my fancy. Welcome to Mealtimes with Dr. Kyla.
Welcome back to the Mealtimes with Dr. Kyla podcast. I'm Dr. Kyla, pediatric dietitian and feeding therapist. And today I'm talking all things Halloween for families. So let's just set the scene. I have never been a huge fan of Halloween. In fact, I have evidence that I've been a reluctant Halloweener since 1992. I was 7 when I wrote this in my daily writing journal at school. So I wrote, "Tonight is Halloween. People won't bother us tonight because we might be going to a boomerang display. It will be nicer." So it's safe to say that Halloween wasn't a big part of my childhood, but I think we can probably all agree that times have definitely changed. And Halloween as a concept, particularly in Australia, I'm sure there are listeners from all parts of the world, but in Australia, it is becoming bigger and bigger each year. It was something that I really just didn't get involved in as a kid. And now as a parent, there's just so much to think about. And so today I'm going to kind of talk through my own thoughts and experiences with Halloween as a parent and as a pediatric dietitian. And I guess, you know, one of the things I really want to start talking about is the lollies, right? I'm actually not worried about how many lollies your kids eat. I'm not worried about how many lollies my kids eat, even if it feels like a lot. But it really does take a lot of work to get to that space of neutrality. Like, it's really normal if you're feeling apprehensive or nervous about Halloween, about the lollies. I want to show you how you can be chill and actually help your child to manage this occasion with confidence themselves. So without you feeling overwhelmed and without them feeling overwhelmed. But I think a really nice place to start is what you might be most worried about first. Now, with Halloween, I mean, one of the big things I'm worried about is how scary some of these characters and these households, you know, dressed up with all sorts of blood and gore. And I'm guessing that's probably not what you're most worried about though. For the families that I work with in the Mealtimes membership, the big fear is eating too many lollies. And I will not bring myself to say candy. I think it's a step too far. I'm still a reluctant Halloweener. But the lollies, if we break it down, it's often a worry about sugar, maybe too much sugar, what that might do to their child. And quick spoiler alert, nothing harmful, but we can talk about that more in a bit. I think it's a worry about perhaps eating so many lollies in one go that they might only want lollies forever, which also is not a thing, something we can manage. I think there's a bit of fear about general health, like, is this going to cause something bad to happen? Is this going to have a negative impact on my child, on their gut microbiome, on their gut health, on their general health? And then I think there's a big part about behavior as well. And this is what people tell me, do you know, what is this going to be like for the evening, for bedtime, for the next few days? What's the impact on my child? And I'm really interested to hear what comes up for you, because I do think it's very helpful to dig down to the worry that's behind the fear of Halloween. You know, what is it that makes you feel really uncomfortable about them eating a lot of lollies? And this is something that we're absolutely deep diving in the Mealtimes membership in the next little while, especially as questions come up for members. And you're very, very welcome to join us if this feels a bit daunting for you right now. It's a really nice time to make the most of all of the personalized support in the membership. So let's talk about what I kind of did with Halloween myself in my own family and kind of the things behind that. So when I had really young kids, I totally ignored it. I did not put anything on the house. I did pretend like I was the 7-year-old, that we weren't home, that we had nothing to do with Halloween. I was the Grinch of Halloween, and I'm totally fine with that. I know that in our neighborhood, there's lots of families with babies walking around and, you know, young kids, and all power to you if it's something that you enjoy and you're part of. Amazing. I just didn't myself. As my kids got older, we started to dabble in the Halloween, mostly since my older started kindy and that there was a group of kindy kids going. It was something they talked about at school, and it felt to me more of a thing to ignore it than to actually be a part of it. Even with my confidence, you know, my experience in this space, it still absolutely brings up uncomfortable feelings, you know, I particularly don't love the idea of traipsing around and asking strangers for lollies. That still gives me an ick, but my kids love it. So I am handling my own discomfort for the long game benefit. And what I'm kind of making decisions about is a bit like the division of responsibility. For example, I'm deciding where we're going trick-or-treating. We're not going in a really wide radius. We're sticking to local streets, local people that we most likely know. You know, when my oldest was four, we literally just did our street. It was small. Our focus was much more on like the logistics of it, you know, saying trick or treat when somebody opened the door or if there was something there, saying thank you if they gave you something, having a look and choosing one from the basket. I think that was, you know, the things that I would prompt them on. One of the things I did do and still do is offer a really substantial afternoon tea, that nobody felt ravenous just before they went trick-or-treating. And that, I really want to be clear, because if you know me, my approach is not about limiting or kind of getting in the way of what your kid can eat. So this really isn't about limiting how many lollies they eat because they're full up from other food. This is really about them having something other than lollies in their tummy that just you don't get that when you've only eaten one kind of food. So really, it's a comfort and they're not feeling ravenous by the time that we get to somebody's house and kind of really listening to their body and having to kind of go crazy on the lollies. So that feels a bit like semantics, but it's something I feel quite strongly about. We would generally, when they were younger, stay quite local and then go back to our house where we had a bowl and we would share out the lollies when people came around. And I found that this was a really useful space to chat about all the other things that are happening. So the costumes, the neighbors, the people you know, the kids having fun, what they're kind of experiencing. It was definitely an exciting thing to have lollies and to hand out lollies, but it wasn't the only thing that I talked about or that we made a big deal out of. I would also really recommend having dinner prepared because it does take a long time to walk small children even up and down the street. And when you get home, the last thing you want to do is then think about what are we actually having for dinner. So that did help. I do feel a little bit uncomfortable with some of the types of lollies that are out there. I find it strange that some people don't have pre-packaged lollies, which, I mean, I don't love the plastic packaging of individual lollies, but I also feel uncomfortable about those that don't have a packaging. I don't really love the like super cheap kind of crappy lollies, but realistically, they're not going to be harmful. There's actually nothing that's going to be particularly problematic about them. One of the things I do think you need to keep an eye out, particularly if you have kids kind of under the age of four or five, is the shape and the texture of some of those lollies. So particularly things like eyeballs, kind of big circles or kind of really chewy or really firm lollies. Particularly if your kids are eating them while they're moving around, that can be really tricky from a choking point of view because they are distracted, they're a really tricky texture, they're just that size to get lodged in your child's throat. So they are ones that you might prompt them to choose another one from the pack, or perhaps you can hold them to when you're sitting at home safely, or perhaps you can kind of, you know, decide that in the day. As my kids have gotten older, I have seen that they're more interested in, you know, the decorating of our house or dressing up, thinking about what they're going to wear, what they're going to do, the celebration of it. Both of them, I have a four-year-old and an eight-year-old, are very excited about the treats, which they call it, the treats, because obviously it is trick-or-treating. And I find that gets me a little bit because we don't talk about treats with food. We really just talk about food by its name. So it's a little frustrating that that comes into the vernacular, but I'm leaning into kind of the lead up to Halloween so that it's not just about the lollies. What I do want to be clear about though is you don't have to like actively dull down the shine of lollies. It is absolutely okay that your kids are really excited about it. It is not a sign that they're out of control or they're obsessed or that it's too exciting. It's just that you don't need to hype it up any further. You don't need to kind of focus on the type of food that we're having. This year, essentially just kind of building on last year for us, I have no idea how much they'll eat. We certainly won't be traipsing the streets for hours collecting more and more, but there won't be a limit on what they can eat. There'll be a limit on where we can go and how long we're out for. But realistically, their stash is their stash. If it's anything like birthday party bags, I suspect that they'll eat the ones that they really like first. Perhaps I'll kind of nibble on some of the others. And then the leftovers will likely linger in these kind of containers for a while. And once they've lingered for a few weeks, I generally remove them. I have a stash of kind of lollies in the top of the pantry for when we need to throw lollies into something like for Halloween. There's definitely some leftover party bag lollies that will be going into our pumpkin for offering. That's not about like taking it away from them. It's just that it gets to a point where my kids have absolutely no interest in them, which I think is a really great sign that they're kind of not phased. They're not obsessed by it. And if your child is kind of holding onto theirs really tightly, they're checking their numbers, that's totally fine as well. You don't have to intervene. You definitely don't need to sneak them out and remove them or put them in the bin. You can just trust the process. And it might take a while if you've got a child who likes to savor some of them. It might get to a point where they're really not very nice to eat and they might choose to get rid of them in their own at time. And if that feels completely foreign to you, I really want to show you a different way, because if things feel stressful and you're kind of trying to sneak them out and your kid's getting really hyper-focused on them, there is a different way. And it is so much less stressful as both the parent and as the child to not have this kind of stress around food. There is a lot in this holiday that comes up, especially on social media, that I do not love. One of these things is the idea of a switch witch, where there's actually a whole book about it, very similar to Elf on the Shelf, where you kind of read the story and do the thing. You swap out your lollies for something, a toy or something very desirable to you. And I get the process behind it, why people might feel like that's a good option. It just feels so unnecessary to me. Like, I don't want my kids to think or to experience kind of collecting these lollies and then having to trade them in. It just, I think, shows them that they've got too many, or I don't trust them, or it's not good for them. Those kind of things, I just think, do not help your kids in the long term regulate, you know, listen to their own body. And I'm not sure what it is behind the switch witch. Like, is it just a really big fear of sugar? Is it a really like a doubt in your child's ability to stop eating those foods? Is it that something, people are fearful that something really bad is going to happen? Because I really think this maybe reduces how many lollies they eat in the short term, but I just don't think it sets them up for life experiences when there are plenty of foods available, when there are plenty of lollies available. You can actually manage that without eating all of them at once. You can actually manage without feeling out of control or feeling the need to binge. And I think that is the lesson I really want for our kids, as opposed to, you know, you get something better if you give me the lollies. One of the other things I hate, and this is something you'll notice now I've mentioned it, is just counting the number of times that somebody says, here comes the sugar high, or references their kids going wild on sugar. It's become such an urban legend, this idea of a sugar high. And it's essentially this belief that like kids' blood sugar is out of control. It really affects their behavior. Interestingly, we have really comprehensive data that has debunked this as a myth since the 90s. Right? So 30 years ago, we had the scientific evidence to say, actually, the sugar has no impact on a child's behavior. It is very much the environment that they're in that creates the change in behavior. So for example, if you're at a birthday party, it's most likely the kids and the other birthday party that is impacting your child's behavior rather than the things that they've chosen to eat. Our bodies are very, very good at managing these kind of fluctuations in blood sugar to the point that it doesn't start to impact behavior. And I can understand that that's really tricky to trust, because if you see your kids on Halloween and they're going crazy, it's probably because you're out and about, you know, doing all this fun stuff and it feels really exciting and different. The evidence actually showed that parents rated their children's behavior as more crazy and out there if they were told that they'd had sugar compared to when they were told that they hadn't had sugar. So it was actually more to do with parent perception of what was going on, thinking they've had sugar and this is why they're behaving like this, rather than actually whether they'd had sugar or not. It's really consistent evidence, and I'll link it in the show notes. So what I want you to know is sugar high, going wild on sugar, is not a thing, right? It is not a thing. It is probably building on sugar fear, which is, I mean, crazy aggressive at the moment. And I want to be clear, I don't think we need to give our kids lollies all day, every day. But as a yearly event with Halloween, I honestly have zero concerns about the impact on their health. I think it's actually probably a great opportunity to practice listening to your body, to trusting it, rather than something we need to be fearful about from a sugar point of view. That's a huge conversation, perhaps for another day. One of the things I really want to caution you against is counting how many lollies your kids eat, or offering subtle prompts for them to stop. And this was something I personally found really challenging. The first time we actually had Easter when my daughter was three, and the first time she kind of had this free rein on food or free rein on the Easter eggs. And it definitely the same kind of things come up at Halloween. Because even if you're chill, even if you're feeling like, yeah, I can let them, if you are counting or you're prompting your kid to listen to their tummy, or are you sure you need that one, you're likely getting in the way of them really trusting that they can do it. And I absolutely was in this position. I really was trying to divert her attention from the lollies or the Easter eggs at the time. I was really kind of stuck on how many she'd had, even though I truly underneath it all believed in this process of the division of responsibility. And the more subtle my agenda was, or the more I kind of added a little commentary, actually the more she was sure I was going to step in. And so I probably fueled a lot of the eating at that time. And when I truly like stepped back and was like, right, I do really trust you, I'm not going to get in the way of this, was when she could actually regulate. And I've seen that consistently, you know, for at least the last 5 years in my own family, but at least for the last 15 years in all the kids that I work with. But even though you might, you know, logically believe it, it can be really hard to physically feel it in your body. And that is something that, you know, I really want to support you with. So you can absolutely experience Halloween feeling chilled, and you can internally grumble about some of the parts of Halloween that you don't love, but enjoying that kind of community event, enjoying the feelings that come with Halloween can actually be your focus rather than what your child is eating. So what I'm talking about is probably very different to how you learned about handling lollies as a kid. And I do want to acknowledge that it does take a fair bit of reflection and relearning to do things differently. But I do think it's in our children's best interest that we trust their bodies and we get out of the way of that kind of them regulating themselves. So now is a great time to try a month of the Mealtimes membership. We've actually got live Q&A sessions for each stage during the lead up to Halloween. So you can talk to me directly about your thoughts, your concerns, your questions. You also get access to all of my content, all of my resources to help you feed your family with confidence. So I'd love you to head to mealtimes.com.au now. Join as a Mealtimes member. Thanks for joining me today. I wish you a happy Halloween. Until next time.
A huge thanks for tuning in and listening to my podcast. This is all brand new for me, so I'd love to hear your feedback. Give me a review or send me a DM. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And above all, I'd really love you to hit that subscribe button to keep listening. Thanks.